You might be wondering why we're standing in front of a picture of a Campbell soup can. This is a silkscreen print done by Andy Warhol, a pop artist, in 1968, and it's from his Campbell Soup 1 series. Warhol was a pop artist who drew his imagery from popular culture and advertising, and even used modern industrialized processes to create the artwork. Repetition was an important part of his processes and his imagery, and apparently he got the idea for the Campbell Soup series because he drank Campbell Soup every day for lunch for 20 years. And he even called his studio the factory.
When we first put this up for the Horticulture 201 students, they were, again, as Kathy said, kind of puzzled about having a giant soup can in a horticulture class. But the more we started talking about this, the more they really got the idea that this symbolizes the disconnect from where our food comes from and seems to embody the American food system. Many of us are concerned about mass production of food and the loss of local economy. And again, we really appreciate the way Warhol brings this vividly to life in an unexpected way.
We're looking at one of the most loved pieces of art in our collection. Our ukiyo-e woodblock prints are very popular with our visitors. This is a piece done by Hiroshige Utagawa, the Horikiri Iris Garden, from his series 100 Famous Views of Edo. Here we see featured the Horikiri Iris Garden, which was outside of Edo, where they raised flowers for the city market. We're looking through a veil of irises to the fields beyond, where people came to admire the plants that were always in bloom and very beautiful.
If you think back, if you've had the opportunity to look at the Andy Warhol piece, just think about how different this is from that one. That seems to embody more of an industrial agriculture, whereas in this piece, it's much more sustainable. You have the iris in the foreground, the water, the people working in the iris, and the background is a line of trees and the sky. Look closely at the sky and you'll see the texture of the wood coming through. You can actually see the print of that wood block. Kathy, I'm really looking forward to your showing us how you actually create a wood block print.
I'll be happy to. One of the things that people like so much about the Japanese woodblock prints is their elegant simplicity, but it actually was quite a complicated process to produce one of these prints. First of all, the artist, in this case Hiroshige, would create a drawing and then take it to the engraver. And we're going to be looking at a piece here from his 53 Stages of the Tokaido series. This is Yoshiwara. He would do the drawing and take it to the engraver, who would then take this print, or this drawing rather, and paste it face down on a cherry board or other fine-grained wood. And it would be pasted down with rice paste. It's interesting because we have lots of materials from nature now used in creating the work of art. So they would take this drawing and paste it face down with the rice paste and then rub the back of it off in layers until he had just a very fine, fine layer of the drawing on the board. And then he would cut away all of the areas that were not lines. It's a relief process. So what prints are just those areas of the board that are standing up away from the surface. When this was done, you would have something called the key block, which is all of the lines in the print. Then the engraver would run about 16 or 20 different prints of the key block off and give them back to the artist, who would then mark each one of these drawings with a separate color. So you might have as many as 20 blocks that were used to create a print like this. Then the drawings would be brought back to the engraver, and the engraver would again paste each one on a block, and a separate block would be cut for each color. So when that was done, they would then go to a printer. And the printer would then take the blocks of wood and use vegetable dyes and rice paste to create the color on the blocks and print the actual print. I should mention also that this is all done by hand. There was no printmaking press involved in this. So when the printer would print these blocks, and the paper would be face down on the block, and incidentally, it was crucial that they were placed on the blocks at the same position each time, and these are kento, or registration marks. The printer would put the full force of his weight on the baron, which is this tool, which is also made of natural materials, bamboo sheath, and rub the print very carefully or sometimes very firmly to transfer those pigments from the block of wood onto the paper, sometimes even using the whole force of the forearm to get the effects that he desired. It's also interesting to note that Hiroshige was known for these saturated areas of color along the horizon line of his prints. I should also mention that the paper that was used is made from mulberry plant fibers, is an extremely resilient, strong paper. It's perfect for this process. Also coming from nature, the mulberry plant fibers. So at that point, they were ready to be distributed by the publisher. And these were very, very popular prints and could be acquired quite cheaply and inexpensively at the time. Now, of course, they're worth a great deal of money, and they became very influential prints in European art, especially admired and used by the Impressionists in their paintings. One of the wonderful ways that women appreciated flowers in the natural world in the 19th century was to include the motifs in their quilts. We're standing in front of one of the recent acquisitions to our collection. It's a crazy quilt from the late 19th century made by an American woman of unknown identity. The quilt shows all kinds of beautiful floral motifs, birds, even Japanese motifs like Japanese fans that were popular at the time. Also, we find that these quilts are a wonderful reflection of the kinds of flowers that were popular in women's gardens. They could get exotic plants from South America and Asia and plant them, and this was a way to celebrate these plants in their quilts.
Now, unlike some of the other sciences, botany was an acceptable form of science for women to explore. And in this way, they would explore it in a way that was comfortable to them. One of the things that we were talking about as we were exploring the background of this piece is that it was likely that the woman who created it pressed flowers, sought pieces and pressed them, and used them to refer to as she worked this incredibly painstakingly made quilt. The other ways that women of this time period would have expressed their interest in botany would be to, again, pick and press the flowers, but also paint flowers, work them into food preparation, or work other plants into food preparation. This horticulture was a really rich discipline for women to explore, and they did that in very, very beautiful ways.
And actually, in this quilt, we see flowers that are appliqued, embroidered, and even hand-painted in some of the textile fragments on the piece.
This is an incredible opportunity to appreciate the skill that went into this kind of needlework, but it's also a wonderful tribute to the natural world. Kathy, we really have enjoyed this brief tour here of the Johnson Museum.
Thank you, Marcia, and we hope you've enjoyed your snapshot tour of a few works of the collection as well. We hope you'll come back and visit us often.